This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Special Edition, Deadpool 2. If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that'll hurt you, and you'd stay. I don't know why I did the things I did. I don't know. Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition, Deadpool 2. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I've assembled a interesting group of random X-Force dudes to help me talk about it. Joining me first is former co-host Ron Richards.
Hello, how you doing, boys?
I like farmer co-host.
I was hoping I'd be last, but fine. I'll take first.
Occasional co-host Ryan Haupt.
Hello.
And sometimes guest host Mike Romo.
Oh, I like that. Hi, guys.
I stratified all of you. Now we're all in a hierarchy.
I've been stratified. I feel like copper.
So we're gathered to talk about Deadpool 2, the sequel to the surprise monster hit Deadpool from a few years ago that Ron and I don't think even were even planning on reviewing, Ron. And then we're like, holy shit, this movie was terrific, and like did like an emergency review.
Yep. It blew me away in the theater. It was much better than it was thought it would be.
Had any right to be. Yeah, exactly.
And so, quick spoiler warning. There'll be spoilers in this discussion. So if you are averse to those, don't listen until you've seen the movie. And this was almost a duo, you guys.
Oh, that's right.
Ryan and Ron almost did the show together because 60 seconds into our the screening that Mike and I were at, the fire alarm went off in the theater.
Oh, my.
The screen froze, and I thought it was going to be some snarky voiceover. And then the lights went on, and then the fire alarm went on, and then I was like, I don't believe it.
Because the thing is, much like this movie, at times you don't know what to expect from Deadpool.
Right.
And so it could have been part of the whole, that would have been amazing.
The freeze frame for sure, I thought, was a joke.
Yeah, sure.
You thought the 4XD was just really that immersive.
Yeah, it's
the whole theater was in on it.
Before we get started, I should disclaim that I do work for Marvel, but Deadpool 2 is produced by Fox. I have absolutely zero access or knowledge or anything of it. So, and all these opinions are my own. They do not represent Marvel. There you go.
Just so everyone knows, the first Deadpool made $783 million when it came out. And so that is
astounding.
No one expected on a sub-$60 million production budget. They went a little bigger for this one. So with this one, we had the return of Deadpool, and as teased in the trailer, we have the formation of X-Force as well as the appearance of Cable. And what was great about this was, I thought this was super fun again, just to be real high level on it.
So much fun. Exhaustingly fun.
But what was great about it was they used the trailer to their advantage because the movie that they set up, you know, it seemed to be a very X-Force heavy trailer. They showcased all these guys who were going to join up, Terry Crews, and that was dispatched very quickly to where we only had one of those people left on the team at the end
at an alarmingly fast rate.
Yeah,
that was nice.
And it was possibly like that. The entire X-Force sequence was nonstop, and like I don't think I couldn't breathe from laughing so hard.
So we have Deadpool. The movie opens. He has. He has advanced on to fighting bad guys all over the world, as opposed to just wherever. What city is he supposed to be in? It was like
it never said the city.
Seattle. I thought I saw a space needle.
Well, at one point, no. If I look at the Capitol Records building, but like he would have to be in New York if he's taking a taxi to Westchester.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, they never actually say the city.
So anyway, he's in some random American
Vancouver.
City that's everywhere at all times, and then but he's fighting the forces of evil all across the globe. But one of those groups he fights, one guy gets away and ends up killing his girlfriend, Vanessa, right in the beginning, which is also right a shocker based on the trailer.
But you kind of knew it was going to happen, I feel like.
Oh, I was, again, going back to what you guys said about the theater and being surprised, the thing that caught me the most about this movie is the level and the frequency of surprises.
Yes.
I did not expect her to die in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I did not expect that to be the like love and family to be the theme of the movie. There were numerous points in this movie where I had no idea what direction it was going in and where mm-hmm. we were headed. They did a great job of keeping you on the back of your feet the entire movie.
See, the thing is, I kept waiting for the movie to begin. I was like, when is the story going to start? Maybe you know what? I think I was resisting the whole pairing of the kid. Do you want to go back and talk about the plot a little bit?
Well, just that. So she dies. He spins out. He's trying to kill himself constantly. He can't do it because of his healing power.
Right.
And through a series of events, he ends up teamed up with a kid.
Rusty Collins.
Was it Fire Fists? What was his?
Ricky Baker.
He was, it was Fire Fist or something like that. But Rusty Collins in the comics is Rusty and Skids, the redhead with fire powers. But it was, they just used the name. That's all.
The actor was from, he's terrific in Hunt for the Wilder People. What's his, Julian Dennis?
Ricky Baker.
Julian right. Dennis.
Julian Dennison's his real name.
Fire Fist. Yeah, that's fire his Fist. Name.
Yeah, they meet this kid at this weird sort of mutant conversion.
Well, oh, no, he's out with the X-Men. He's an X-Men trainee and there's an emergency with
no,
the
no. He was
Deadpool.
No.
X-Men
What happened was is that so Deadpool is upset at losing his girlfriend. He's looking for direction. Colossus wants to help him. Says, "Come move in with the X-Men. Move into the mansion. You become an X-Men trainee." He gets the jersey. They something happens at an orphanage, and so they go to the Blackbird. They fly to the orphanage, and is the Essex House for Children, which X-Men's will recognize Essex as the name of Mr. Sinister. And it's this, and I guess the guy running the orphanage is supposed to be Mr. Sinister or not, Nathan Essex, and he's experimenting on mutants, and this kid has had enough. And so he's causing a big X-Men 1, like cops surrounded by them. They don't know what to do moment. And so Deadpool and the X-Men come in to try to stop him. And Deadpool screws up, of course, and kills a bunch of cops. And then Fire Fist and Deadpool go to prison. And
right. But don't you think that Mr. Professor X and the X-Men would have known about this house that is seemingly blocks away? Like Domino apparently grew up in that house. It just seems very, very weird. He does talk about lazy writing throughout the
story. Yeah, I mean,
so there you go.
Deadpool is completely meta. I mean, all the normal conventions of storytelling go out the window, yet they still tell a coherent story. But it's all about coincidences, and it's about easy connections and nothing making sense. I mean, we have a T-shirt for this entire film.
Which, this, by the way, this not only did, because I had to say, Connor, after Avengers Infinity War came out, I said, wow, that shirt came out at the right time, even more so with Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool embraces nothing makes sense, nothing matters better than any of them. So.
For sure.
Well, actually, okay, so let me butt in with the thing about the Essex, is because right at that scene, Deadpool makes a reference to how the X-Men was a parable for racial disparity and racial unity back in the 1960s, and then tries to fist bump the black officer, which I thought, I got a good laugh in my theater. The Essex House is essentially like gay conversion therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's the modern update for what the X-Men kind of signify in our current culture. So I thought, like, you know, as we can call it lazy writing, but there actually is some
I don't think it's lazy writing at all.
I'm just talking about the proximity of the house. It just seemed like it was down the block and it had been there for a while.
They have a Blackbird. That's what they need. But Ryan, that's a great point. And I walked out of this movie as an X-Men fan saying, you know, they're making the X-Men movies I wish I had. Like, this is actually, with the exception of First Class, this Deadpool 2 came way closer to the X-Men I want than any of them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. It was funny when they did a little reveal of all the other X-Men characters, and I was like, yeah, I don't need to see those guys.
Oh, that was so funny. I mean, here's my whole take on the whole movie, though, is that the jokes and the references for people like us, specifically people like me, are so – we're so fast, I hate to say it, but fast, furious, never-ending – to the point, like, I found Ready Player One to be exhausting because there were just so many references and visual references, and, like, not that I was looking for them all. I just couldn't watch the movie without being distracted by them. But Deadpool, I was exhausted just by catching every reference and every little X-Men joke. There was even a Rob Liefeld joke in the movie, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they literally threw everything but the kitchen sink into this movie. And I really think that the fact that they kept Deadpool in the mask for most of the movie allowed them to do a lot of ADR leading right up to the release.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of very current jokes, like a Jared Kushner joke and a Thanos joke and stuff like that. They pushed the envelope of what they could do and how much they could get in amazingly.
By the time you got to the prison, which was a good chunk of the film, I'd almost completely forgotten about Cable. So yeah. when the first time we see him, like, oh shit, right, Cable, because so much had gone on at that point. In the film, that you just sort of forgot. He's not introduced until well into the, at least the second act of the movie.
I really thought we would get more of a Cable mission type situation.
Well, that's my only complaint about the movie, and this is as the X-Fan, is that I thought Josh Brolin was fine as Cable. I thought he was good. He was gruff. He was, you know, whatever. His Rusty grows up and kills his wife and daughter, so he's going back for revenge, is just such a trope. Right. And I wanted more Cable's coming back to prevent the future. I wanted that sort of angle.
Right. The threat needed to be bigger than just his family.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which I think they were implying, because really when we see him in the future, the entire world seems to be on fire.
But he's so upset. Yeah. But so like
him, he's really upset. But it's, he seemed to imply that Rusty went on to do way more damage than just kill his family.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like he was looking over a hellscape before he came back. So maybe, I don't know, that he was a little mysterious, but then again, he's Cable, and Cable definitely doesn't make any sense, so it's fine. It was fine for me. I just think, so, you know, eventually things, you know, Deadpool gets out of prison, he needs help with tracking down all the bad guys, so he forms his own super team off of a bunch of auditions he does in the bar, and then, you know, it all converges at the end. I just thought, once the team got together, the team was terrific. I mean, even though they all die really quickly.
They had so much potential.
Zazie Beetz as Domino, I thought, was a revelation.
Fantastic.
She's great.
She's great.
Where is she from?
She's from Atlanta. She's on Atlanta.
Yeah. God, she was good at this.
With Donald Glover.
And that whole sequence of luck, which he jokes would be terrible to watch on film, was terrific, I thought.
Great Brad Pitt cameo as the invisible guy. It was a Matt Damon cameo.
Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon together.
Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon. They really blew this one out with all the things that they didn't do in the first one. A lot more X-Men stuff. I was kind of a bummer that Negasonic Teenage Warhead's in it so little, because she was so great in the first one. But her recurring role with her and Yukio was funny. And Deadpool, I love Deadpool and Yukio together.
Hi, Yukio. but as we referred to earlier, we didn't clarify. I mean, everyone listening to this has probably seen the movie, but the moment when Deadpool's complaining to Colossus that, why every time I hear it's just you, and this is a big mansion, shouldn't there be other people around? And they walk by a room, and very quickly you see Beast and Xavier and Quicksilver, and Cyclops, they're all in that room, and then they just shut the door.
Very, very quietly.
Also, they did a really good job of hiding things. I mean, I had an inkling of who the big beast in the basement was, and then the reveal happened, and I was, holy shit, it's Juggernaut, and it's non-terrible Juggernaut. From the last time we saw Juggernaut was in the terrible movie X-Men: The Last Stand.
Oh, right.
And so we got Juggernaut versus Colossus, something like that, you know, from that cartoon with Australian Wolverine.
Now here,
I was kind of hoping we were going to get Strong Guy Ron.
He looked a lot like Strong Guy minus the helmet, like the body shape. But yeah, but now here's again where I get to be Grandpa X-Men, is that it was great to see the Juggernaut. I did not see that coming. I was trying to guess who was in the – so basically when they're in the prison, the kid makes friends with a maximum security baddie who's behind a door, and we don't know who it is. And I was wondering – I thought maybe Blob, trying to think who might be behind the door. The fact that it was Juggernaut was awesome. The way they end up dispatching him, I could have done without. Like, I don't feel like Colossus shoves a live electrical wire up Juggernaut's ass. Like, and I get that this is Deadpool, but Colossus doesn't do that.
He's Russian.
Yeah,
that's what Russia they do in Moscow. Russia. That's what he said. I mean, it fits the tone of the film, though.
The film was unrelenting in its pacing, which I appreciated. Like, it does go like a bat out of hell. You don't even get a chance to breathe. Kind of like what Ron was saying. The only time you get a chance to breathe is when his dying scene, which takes a good.
They also commit to all their jokes. Pretty like, you know, when Juggernaut rips Deadpool in half and he has to grow his legs back and he's got little baby legs for a long time.
Now, couldn't you just reconnected him? His legs are right back.
I thought that too.
Yes, but is that as funny as having little baby legs?
That was so funny.
And then I did like that his costume or his outfit is all taped up, like taped back together in the later scenes. That was funny. Yeah. And then there was, you know, he got exploded and his suit kind of took on the coloration of the uncanny X-Force.
That was, I think that was on purpose. Yes, that was very much.
What was interesting, I thought, about the movie is that as zany as it is, it's totally zany, and as much as they commit to these ridiculous jokes, I did feel like the scenes with him and his wife in heaven or whatever were heartfelt, and I did.
They were threading a really crazy needle
where they could do that, and it's still you never forgot you were in Deadpool, but at the same time, like, you felt bad for him and Vanessa, you felt bad for him and the kid, you felt bad for all the stuff that was serious. They did a really good job of keeping that weird tone where you could have baby leg Deadpool, you know, Winnie the Poohing it, but you could also have really sad scenes with him and his girlfriend. So I thought that was really amazing.
Well, I mean, I was remembering just how much I enjoyed their relationship in the first film. Right. So that's what made it even more tragic. I mean, they are so good together, their chemistry. And I thought that last scene where she said it's not the time yet was very affecting. So
yeah, she's great. Marina Baccarin's great, and I'm glad that if there's another one, she'll be back.
We're gonna talk about that final scene.
Yeah.
Ron, were you shattered that Shatterstar was dispatched so quickly?
No, I wasn't. No, it was worth it for the joke. We'll talk about the very end. But I mean, it's no surprise that of the X-Force, my favorite was Peter.
Oh, Peter was great. Do you watch Catastrophe, Ron?
Yeah, we'll totally watch Catastrophe. And what was great is that he wasn't just Rob from Catastrophe. Like Rob Delaney sold Peter as a character. Just like, I just saw the ad. Like, it was like great.
But it was also great they had his old headshot. So it was like,
yeah, so you could see him younger and
also curious. T.J. Miller really dialed down in this movie. Do you think that's related to his career arc?
He was. I don't remember his character being like that in the first one.
So wussy.
Yeah.
I don't either. I just remember him being kind of like a lot funnier, frankly. But
yeah. And also, so in terms of what didn't work, I thought where in the first movie, Dopinder as the cab driver worked great. This movie, I was like, oh, get him off, please. Like, I didn't think his jokes were working. His death wish was not. I mean, like, that whole it paid off at the end. But it just that was the one area of like, all right, I don't really think this one is working as well as they think it is.
I thought his courage joke was one of the funnier jokes in the movie.
It was a good. That was a good joke.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah. But then here's the funny thing is that there are so many like home run jokes that I can't even keep track.
No. And it's really kind of amazing that Ryan Reynolds' strange public persona, it fits this character so perfectly that just about everything works. His line deliveries are perfect for this character.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really fascinating to see how I don't know if you guys have kept track of the marketing leading to the film, but I almost feel like the movie deserves an extra star for the marketing because not only has Ryan Reynolds totally embraced the character and totally embraced the fourth wall breaking by constant references to Deadpool talking about Ryan Reynolds and in a Kaufman, Andy Kaufman-esque like way, but the videos they've done. Did you see the 10th anniversary video they did?
No.
So they shot a video. It's on YouTube. If you search Deadpool 2 10 years, they shot a minute. It's a minute and 30 second 10 year retrospective of the Deadpool movie universe, and it's nearly shot for shot making fun of the MCU 10-year anniversary video that Marvel put out, right? And it's like they're able, because there's such a distance to Marvel, they're jabbing constantly at it, and it's doing it so elegantly. It just cracks me up. I think they're marketing this movie brilliantly, and I think it's going to pay off in the box office. It's great.
Everyone gets jabbed here. The DCU gets jabbed. Marvel gets jabbed. Rob Liefeld gets jabbed. Everyone gets jabbed. Hugh Jackman gets jabbed a couple times again.
Is a Jerry Duggan reference? It wasn't a jab, but he gets referenced in the movie.
Yeah, he was a street.
Well deserved. That was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it all ends well. They save the kid from becoming a killer. Deadpool doesn't die, even though he wants to. He wants to have his Logan death. They even play the music from Logan while he's dying.
And I liked how long that scene. I could see people getting annoyed with how long that scene took, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Well, that's an example of them committing to that joke. They committed to that. They committed to that joke where he just kept not dying. And so, you know, Colossus and their buddies, and everyone's happy. So then the first... So what happens is Cable only has two charges in his time machine. One was to get him back to the past, and one is to get him home. But he decides, instead of going home to his family, he's going to go back and redo the ending and save Deadpool from getting killed because he has his power dampener on, so his healing factor's gone. And so the first scene is Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Yukio fixing the time machine, which I guess they could just do.
The end credit sequence.
Yeah, the first end credit sequence. Yeah. The second one is Deadpool taking it and then... fixing everything, which I thought was really funny.
Not just fixing everything. So he goes back and he saves Marina Baccarin and he saves his girlfriend. He goes back to the whole X-Force scene.
He only saves Peter,
which is great. He's like, Peter, just
his sugar bear.
Just walk away.
Okay, it was getting pretty scary. Right?
And then he goes back and he shoots himself in Wolverine Origins.
Many times.
So good.
And what was great is that he shoots, and they of course, using CGI to edit him into the movie, so Hugh Jackman's in it, but it's from Origins. And it's the scene where the door opens and Deadpool walks in with the mouth all sewn up.
It just made me angry to see that again, just how awful that was.
And not only does he shoot him once and the body drop, but then Deadpool's just staring at Wolverine and he just shoots him again and shoots him four more times.
And then pops away.
And then he goes back.
The best one, though, yes.
This is the. It was the last joke in the movie. It was the best joke in the movie. He goes back and shoots Ryan Reynolds before he can do Green Lantern.
You made it to the big time.
Welcome, Canada.
I mean, that was a really great joke. I think that sequence might have been the funniest sequence of the whole movie.
Yeah. That was so funny. Apparently, I read on a blog, I forget what site it was, but they wanted to add another one where he goes back and it's Chris Evans with the script of Fantastic Four and he shoots Chris Evans. But they didn't do that. And then I read it also that they wanted him to go back and he was going to kill baby Hitler, but they decided they can't have him killing a baby on the screen.
After spending an entire movie trying to prevent a kid from getting killed?
Exactly, yeah. It
would be the most Deadpool thing, right? Yeah. Like, the whole point of... If you read Deadpool comics for long enough, he never learns a lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Of all superheroes, well, I guess, or anti-heroes, or whatever you want to classify him as, he's the one who's never supposed to grow and change and mature in any way, in my opinion.
But the joke wouldn't have beaten the Ryan Reynolds joke. I mean, that ended on such a
high note. No, that was great. It was because it was meta, and it was, fourth wall and all that stuff. Yeah.
How was your guys' audience? Were your audiences laughing along with the jokes at the same place as you guys were? Or
we had a real quiet audience. We ate one of those dine-in theaters, so you're always going to have kind of sleepy people in them anyway.
But also, I think the energy was taken out when we had to leave the theater for half an hour when the fire alarm went off in the beginning. But
right.
Yeah, our audience was fine. It wasn't a geek audience. We didn't go, we went middle of the day on a Friday. So it wasn't like, Thursday night for showing. It wasn't Friday night. It was a more sedate audience, which was fine. I think.
How about you guys?
Pretty good. There were definitely a few times where I laughed or reacted to a joke that was deep cut comic book, can't even draw feet. And I laughed and nobody else in the theater laughed. So they were clearly into the movie and into the superhero movie genre, but maybe not comic people.
I'm biased. I went to the New York premiere, so Ryan Reynolds and Terry Crews and the Hulk and Marina Baccarin were all in the audience, so it went over very well, let's just say. Hey, I didn't say there weren't perks for working at Marvel.
Do you feel the need to perform for them when you're in the theater? Are you laughing extra hard?
Keep in mind, I was in the second to last row in the theater, but I was in the theater. I wasn't in the first row, but Liefeld was there too. I got to say hi to him. It was a fun event, but the movie went over very well.
I mean, these are very specific films, right? So I don't want all of them like this. I'm glad they didn't try to do that after the first one. They tried, they went R, obviously. Logan was an R-rated film, but they didn't try this sort of wacky, zany, nonstop joke fest. And I'm glad, because this coming out every couple of years, that's great. If this came out every 6 months, I would get tired of it probably really quickly.
This is the right. I mean, 2 years from the last movie, this is for me, at least going to a lot of movies and especially dealing with the DC darkness and also with the, you know, like, let's be honest, you know, Avengers Infinity War was a rough ending. I know yeah. I heard you guys talking about it, and I'm sure everyone's been affected by it, even me and people at Marvel, which I'm just like, I'm at work and I'm like, you people know better. But this is a great breath of fresh air and has a great kind of like, oh yeah, this can be fun and wacky and zany. And Deadpool existing in with the other characters, like aside from the Juggernaut, but you know, electricity, you know, Colossus was by the book Colossus.
It's the best Colossus we've ever seen on screen.
Yeah. Cable. Yeah. Cable was, you know, what you would expect from Cable.
What is Josh Brolin's fitness routine and diet?
Yeah.
Cause he is all sinew.
Yeah. This can exist. This lightheartedness can exist in the world. And I like that it does. And who knows if we'll get a third one.
Well, I believe their X-Force is in development, is it not?
Oh, X-Force is in development, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah, but who knows? But everything's up in the air.
Sure,
with the deal.
But I believe who knows what will happen with the Disney-Fox merger, if that merger actually happens. But I believe the next thing they're developing is another film with the whole team, this whole team.
It's great.
Which is great, because more Domino and more Cable, more...
Yeah, that trio together was perfect. I love the Cable Deadpool relationship. I mean, it just Josh Brolin's pained expressions I could just watch all day.
And also Domino was just sort of like very excited to be there, but not in like in a wide-eyed way, but just sort of very enjoying everything that's happening was a nice touch as well.
Well, it's great. She's lucky. She can literally go with the flow, right?
Well, it's fun because
cool demeanor.
Yeah, Deadpool doesn't take anything seriously, but he doesn't take anything seriously in a meta fourth wall breaky kind of way, whereas she is not taking things seriously because she knows it's going to be fine.
Right.
And so it gives them similar perspectives, but played in completely different ways that both really work and are fun to watch on screen together.
Man, I just think back to that sequence where they all jumped out of the plane and they just, once you realize what was happening, they were all going to die horrifically, was pretty great.
It was great. And yeah, and you guys are right. Domino, I think, stole a large portion of the movie aside from Peter. But I hope Domino becomes a permanent fixture. If they, you know, if she's in X-Force, if she's in future Deadpool movies, like she was great. And it was, yeah, it's again, much better than it deserves to be. Well, no, I don't think it's better than it deserves to be. It's just they're putting the care into it and thinking about how that character exists on film, and it was fun. I mean, it was nonstop fun.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't drag at all.
Cable said his daughter's name is Hope, but other than that, they never made it explicit that he's a Summers, right?
No reference at all.
Okay.
Which I think was smart. That's the thing, is that like I get why they did what they did with Cable, because it's accessible, it's relatable. If you get into the whole the future and the X-Men and all, like that's too much. And even Connor, the point that you made with the cityscape being a whole, you know, wasteland, stuff like that, I wonder if they tried to go in that direction. Like, no, just keep it simple, which I understand. Just as an X-Men fan, I guess I want a Cable movie, right? I just want like a Cable standalone.
I mean, I totally I get that too. I thought for sure it was going to be ripe for a lot of jokes about how convoluted it all is, but you didn't need to go that way. There was enough going on without filling in Cable's backstory.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a joke about Juggernaut being Xavier's brother it wasn't explicitly said, but it was basically said, and that's never made sense.
Yeah.
And he's in a wheelchair.
I need to see it again because I know I missed stuff, which is what they want, right? So I want, you know, like and the funny thing was it made me want to go back and watch the first one, and it made me want to, you know, make my wife watch the first one and see this again, and that's what you want out of these movies.
It'll be interesting to see if they can resist the notion of keeping Deadpool in kind of a bubble.
Yeah.
And not putting him into the X-Men movies somehow.
I really hope they do. I mean, it gives them such freedom.
You know,
makes you look forward to these films in a way that's kind of like you can just have a good time. You will be sometimes kind of grossed out, but it's such a rollick. You know, it's a frolic, not a rollick. But
yeah, that lack of an adamantium skeleton really makes the body horror of the healing factor that much worse.
So great. One time when he's on that table and you.
Oh yeah.
I love it when your eyes take a while to adjust to just exactly what's wrong.
Right. Like, am I seeing a human?
and also when he's in prison running into Black Tom Cassidy, which is an X-Men character, which honestly, there's no, like, do whatever you want with him. Like, there's no one's a Black Tom Cassidy fan, right?
So, like, all the jokes about him being African-American.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so just take the character and play with it. You know, it's not like that. They're taking the pieces of the X-Men lore and using them in a modern day sense. sense like this, that that while they're not true to the comics, it serves the story and works. So that was, and the X-Men fan of me go, oh, Black Tom Cassidy, and then that's it.
We're going to get an email from that one Black Tom Cassidy fan.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you're out there. Let's talk.
Really enjoyable film. Loved, it was as funny, if not more so, than the first one. Good time.
Connor, I know I've been away for a while, but can I do it?
Yes.
Ratings.
Out of five.
Ryan, ratings.
I will give it a 3.75.
Whoa.
I know. It feels low, doesn't it? Should I go four?
It does seem low.
Four.
You can go with what you think is appropriate.
A four.
I'm going to go with 3.5, guys.
Wow.
I missed the heart of the first one. I like I said at my first at the beginning. I don't know. For me, I kept waiting for some other shoe to drop, and then maybe it was just I got lost because there were so many shoes that dropped. But I was kind of like waiting for the story to start. And I know that makes no sense because there were tons of story. I just felt like I didn't have anything to. I didn't really buy some of the meat of the story. But that
doesn't matter. You know what I just realized, Mike? This story felt like reading a trade of a 5-issue story arc. Or a 4-issue
really
story.
Good, that's a really good way to put it.
Because the prison was an issue or two.
Yeah.
The opening was an issue. The going after him was two. Yeah. This was a very much a comic book movie in that way.
It felt fine. But I left Deadpool feeling almost like it was a revelation. Just doing what they did with the love story.
Well, the second time is never going to be as revelatory as the first time.
Yeah.
Sure. It is cool that the first one was so good that you can't help but compare it to. And I'm glad that they didn't try to recreate it. I think they had a lot more fun with this one.
Yeah.
And I thought some of the, it was rapid fire, you know, meta takes, which were good. I felt sometimes there were too many just because like, I don't need it more commenting on the writing of the film itself. You know, sometimes I felt like it got it in its way a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it all leads up to that post-credit sequence, and then you realize, dude, stop taking this so seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just saw Ryan Reynolds' head get blown apart on the Green Lantern script.
Makes sense. Nothing matters.
I mean, if anything, the walking off the Avengers movie makes you just kind of almost shell-shocked when you come to this film, right? It's like, how seriously should I take this movie? But it's like, no, you can have fun with these films as well. Yeah. I think I just love the on-screen, the chemistry between Reynolds and Marina Baccarin is so good that I wanted more of that.
Yeah, I'm with you that I wish we had more Marina Baccarin, but she served her purpose and she got saved at the end. So I guess she'll be back, hopefully. But Connor, ratings.
I'm going to go 4.675.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm
going 4.5, and the 0.5 is for the marketing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a meta commentary on how content is.
I think if shared. You drop back, if you take out that final credit, if you take that final credit sequence out, then maybe it's 4.235. But since it's in there.
I feel like the ratings were good. We should 0.5. I think that's where we start. Right, anyway,
I think you go with tenths, right? You can't. You just went to 10/1000s or something.
So there you go. There's Deadpool 2. If you want to talk about Deadpool 2, you can do so on ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for that show. You can also go there to find all of our podcasts, including our weekly Pick of the Week show, in which we talk about the latest comic book releases. And also, if you go to ifanboy.threadless.com, you can find that Nothing Makes Sense, Nothing Matters shirt, which we referenced earlier in the show. Perfect t-shirt for this film. So until next time.
Well, next time will be Solo, correct, Connor?
Sure, yeah, Solo.
The next movie? All right, good. Cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, boy.
Until then, let's figure out the order here. I'm Connor. He's Ron.
I'm Ron.
He's Ryan.
I'm Peter.
And he's Mike.
Paul. Mike.
It's a catastrophe.
Cocaine to the face.
Nothing matters.
The cocaine joke was great, too.
That was really funny. Cocaine joke was great. I love a good cocaine joke in the face. Oh, like,
yeah. If I could turn back time. If I could turn back time. If I could turn back time. Oh, baby. I didn't really mean to hurt you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.